Baseball cards are almost as old as baseball. First they came in cigarette packages, then starting in the 50s they came with gum. But commentator Eileen Segalov says the card is still evolving.
Hello, I'm Don Drysdale.
And I'm Joe Torre. Welcome to the world of baseball talk.
The other night at a family dinner, I mentioned a new kind of toy I'd heard about, talking baseball cards. I thought I'd finally found a subject my 14-year-old nephew could get excited about.
Yeah, the talking cards. They have an appeal to some people, I guess. Not me. I don't think these are an investment. Maybe in 20 years it'll be worth a little more than it is now, but I can't really see potential in this in the long run.
Oh, well, you see, my nephew's been collecting baseball cards since he was 6. And growing up in the 80s, he's the first to admit he loves the cards and the money they're worth. His bedroom walls are decorated with limited edition baseball lithographs, rare counterfeit rookie cards, and personally autographed glossies. My nephew's no lightweight. The problem is, he's so serious. I decided it was time to loosen him up, so I whipped out my newly purchased sports talk player. It's an orange and blue plastic box resembling a cassette machine, but you slip in colorful plastic talking cards. I popped in a shiny Hank Aaron card and turned up the sound.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate. And listen to this crowd.
My nephew grinned, then quickly put on his business face.
I think they're kind of a put-on, kind of like a gimmick, and it's a way for this company to make money. That's all I think.
Who could think about money at a time like this? Goosebumps ran up and down my spine as I settled into 1974 and the magic of the moment. I was just about to play Oral Hershiser when my brother-in-law mentioned a recent stock merger. All ears turned to more sensible things, and I downed my dessert and disappeared. I've always loved baseball and bubble gum. I was the only person I knew who would actually chew the gum that came with the cards. I loved cracking open a new pack, sticking the gum in my mouth, and looking for my favorite L.A. Dodgers. I collected Gil Hodges because he had bedroom eyes, and Wally Moon because I liked how his eyebrows grew together. I carried the cards with me everywhere, and after a few years, they were frayed, worn, and loved. It never occurred to me that one day they'd be valuable. I shared this bit of personal history with my nephew. He said,
I think anybody who bends their cards or defaces them has got to be crazy, because they're just kind of throwing away money.
I felt kind of foolish. I guess I've just got to accept my nephew and I are from different worlds. At 14, it never occurred to me that my Barbie dolls or clutch purse collection could be traded in for a car or a college education. Of course, I still wish I had my Sandy Koufax card and my Mickey Mantle. I'd be in the money. Instead, I'm in love with a new toy that may never be worth more than its face value, but gives me the feeling I'm touching the heart of a game I truly love. And my nephew has lightened up a bit. He confessed he might have made a mistake or two in his investment strategy when he started out.
I started collecting cards with their wrappers because I thought, well, maybe the wrapper will be worth something someday. So I started collecting the gum, too. I don't know, I thought maybe someday someone will come by and...
Someone would buy your gum from 1976? Knowing my nephew, he's probably right.